All right, let's go over Psalm 56. Psalm 56. We're going to do some work in the Psalms today. David wrote the Psalms, and by and large, the Psalms that he wrote if you ever read them, you know, they started out crying. They started out whining. They started out... Had anybody here start out like that?
Yeah.
From time to time, you know? Especially when you wake up in the morning and you remember everything that went wrong yesterday. You remember everything that went wrong, you know, in the early part of your life, you know, for the past, you know, 15 years, you know, or 40 years, or 60 some odd, 80 years, Dan? Oh, good, okay. Yeah, so you're remembering all the things that went wrong and all the things that have happened. David had seemed to have a lot of that. David was lousy at raising kids. Anybody ever notice that? I mean, he had one son out to kill him. He was trying to take the family business. He was trying to take the kingdom away from him. He's out there running, hiding in the cave from his son. Now, what kind of a good dad is that? I mean, this guy is David, the anointed. Remember, Samuel came by, you know, and he anointed him with oil, and he set him up, and he's, "You are the king." And then Saul's trying to kill him, you know, because he thinks he's trying to take his job, which God already, you know, took care of that problem. But David didn't get the benefit of it. He didn't see the result of it and the finished work of it until much later, did he? Huh? And so many times we don't see the result of it. And you remember that the day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, right? I mean, that guy, he has got, you know, he's got about 3 days going here. He's got total probably about 6. You know, and the 7th day we get to go home. But, you know, for you and me, it just seems like, wow, this is like 1,000 years. Well, guess what? For you, it is. It is. But God's doing great things in you. First of all, He's made you a promise. He redeemed you. He purchased your eternal life.
Amen.
He gave it to you. He purchased it. All you do is say amen. You don't straighten up. You don't fix up. You get your socks on the right feet. You know, no matter what you've done wrong or you're still doing wrong, God still likes you.
Amen.
He came all the way down and spent Jesus. He spent Jesus totally. He spent His only Son to love you. Somebody asked me the other day, my daughter asked me the other day because she was doing a paper or something. She says, "Dad, what's your favorite scripture?" You know, yell, all of them. But really, what came to me to answer that is John 3:16 is, you know, well, that's the Baptist's favorite scripture. No, that's everybody's. For God so loved
the world.
Where do you live? In here? Yeah, right. You qualify. That whosoever... Well, do you qualify for that? Yes. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
For God sent His Son not into the world to what? Condemn the world, but that the world through Him might have life. Thank God. So, that's where we begin. That's where we begin. And David began because he knew God. He learned how to listen to God out in the field. He learned how to listen to God. He learned when trouble came that he could cry out to God. What did his dad teach him? The one thing he taught him is that trust God. Jesse taught his sons, trust God. David's out in the field. He's slaying a bear just to protect some dumb sheep. Man, would you do that? Well, I guess if it's your job, you know. But he's out there slaying bears and, I mean, not just a wolf. Lion and bear. Am I yelling too loud?
No.
This is lions and bears. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. And he's killing these lions and tigers and bears. I'm adding to the scripture, it's tigers. But God is protecting him. God is protecting him. God is training him for the days to come. God is training him for the days to come. Whoa, man, I don't even want those days to come. You know what? They're coming anyway. Has anybody experienced the fact that trouble comes?
That's right.
Huh? Yeah, trouble cometh. You know, how many know this world is not heaven?
Amen.
Huh? It wasn't designed. It was designed to be, but somebody screwed it up. And it might as well have been me. I mean, we're going to blame Adam. We're going to blame Eve. It might as well have been, you know, Janet. You know, is she even here? Yeah. Oh, she just left. See. Yeah, but God. God knew everything, but what He wanted is for you to be able to come to Him in the middle of any problem, any trouble, any trial, and learn how to cry out to the Lord.
Yeah.
I want you to learn how to cry out. We've had to cry out at our house. Yeah, we've had to cry out to the Lord. I mean, we've had these things, some things ongoing for years and years and years and years. Yeah. And you're like, God, how long? You know what? It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. It matters a lot.
Why does it matter? So you can be comfortable, so you can be at peace, so you can be happy. I understand all that. I understand human emotion. But I want to read to you, first of all, a scripture out of 1 Corinthians chapter. You're over in Psalms. Keep your finger there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Talking about Jesus, and that He died for all. 2 Corinthians 5, 15 through 17. And that He died for all, that they which live should not hereafter live to themselves, but to Him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore hereafter, from now on, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, for sure, though we have known Christ after the flesh as a man. Oh, Jesus came. He's in a picture with a lamb and kids. Though we have known Jesus and observed Him after the flesh as a human being, yet now, from now on, know we Him no longer like that. We don't consider Jesus after the flesh. He says, hereafter know we no man after the flesh. So in the same way that Jesus rose from the dead, went to heaven after 40 days, sent the Holy Spirit, which He described in the book of John, that He was sending, the Holy Spirit, a whole new regime, a whole new life. The Holy Spirit coming to earth to indwell those who believed in Christ Jesus has made a fundamental transformation. You are changed. Let's read this next verse. Therefore, tells you what the rest of the verses were there for. Therefore, in conclusion, if any man be in Christ, he is, say he is, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So you have been transformed. Anybody here born again? By the living God. You've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have received His sacrifice on the inside of your person. And you said, Jesus, I will not live forever on my own. In fact, I will die and go to hell. Because I can't keep your law. I'm not even part of your kingdom whatsoever. Unless I receive what you saved me. I was hanging from a twig and you saved me because I said yes. So you saved me, so I am saved to the uttermost. So I am redeemed. Therefore, that redemption now has not only saved me from falling down to the cliff, that redemption has also saved me in that I dwell in and with the same Spirit that God has and does. Amen. He is in me. He loves me. He's transformed me. Say it. I'm transformed.
I'm transformed.
Now, okay, you're going to have to keep saying that, you know, because you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and look in the mirror and it's just going to be you. Amen? You ever done that before? You just wake up in the morning, oh, it's you again. You know, you and your same old problems, you and your same old junk, you and your same old, you know, same old bad hair day, you know. I mean, yeah, really, that's the sum total of most people's deals, a bad hair day, you know. Or women, maybe it's men, they've got some other thing, you know, maybe they're fat. Something. You know, you've got all these things. But again, from now on, know we no man after the flesh. Now you can put that in two different contexts. You can put that in the context of the person you see, the people that you look at every day, and to not know them after the flesh. But you can also put it in the same context. The first one you should put in that context is you. From now on, know we no man after the flesh. Say, that includes me.
That includes me.
Amen. See? Because, I mean, look at you. You just look at yourself and you just complain. Anybody ever done that? You just look at yourself and you complain. You know, I don't have any friends. My girlfriends hate me. You know, my boyfriends hate me. All the people that, you know, I've got, you know, they just can't stand me. Guess what? You're right. I mean, because you're not that lovable. Amen? I mean, how lovable are you? I mean, are you out to do everything for everybody? And just, are you just out for you? Well, a lot of people are like, well, I'm out to love everybody. But they don't appreciate me, so I hate them. Amen? Anybody been like that? Is that you know, you're such a loving person, but nobody recognizes it, so you hate them all. And you have to realize that that's the case. That is the case. Because now you know, not every day, all day, but I mean, it just rises up on the inside of you. You know, is that I am unappreciated. I am not loved. I am not given my due. I know that because I feel that all the time. Amen? I hope you're like me. Mm-hmm. Amen. Maybe you're holier than I am. I don't know. It won't last long. Because now you're prideful. From now on, we don't know anybody after the flesh, including me. I don't regard myself after the flesh. What that'll do is set you free. Isn't that right, Jenny? That'll set you free. Because if you don't look at yourself after the flesh, you don't get to judge yourself. Because you've already been judged. And who judged you? Jesus. Because you said yes to Jesus, He's already judged you. And He's judged you how? Righteous. He's judged you pure. Now granted, you look at yourself, you're not. But you begin to stay in this Word, you begin to worship God, and you begin to live with Him. And you begin to let the Word of God transform you. Let the Word of God what? Dwell in you richly. And what happens? God begins to do work in you. Now your circumstances may be the same, which is lousy. Those circumstances which you were praying and hoping and wishing would change and have not changed, I don't know. I can't tell you why. One thing I can tell you, though, is I can get into this Word and I can rejoice and I can be changed and I can walk joyful and I can walk peaceful because none of these things moves me. And it's not because I'm cool. It's not because I get to stand up every Sunday. It's because none of these things moves me because I've been changed. God moved on the inside of me by His promise and by His Word. I trust Him. I remember I've told you before is a scripture over in Job 23. Now, we all like Job 42, you know, where he kind of figures it out and God shows up. But Job 23, when he's right in the middle of the mess and all of his friends are trying to figure out what he did wrong so they can, you know, condemn him and put stuff on him. He says of God, "For He knows the way that I take." He knows right where I am.
Yes. Right.
"He knows the way that I take. And when He has tried me, I will come forth as gold."
Amen.
Not I hope I do.
Right.
When He's tried me. When this is over. Because He's in the middle of the problem. You know. You remember Job, right? Yep. He's got lost everything. All his kids, all his wealth, all his cows, all his everything. The only thing he had left was three friends.
Maybe.
And then a young whippersnapper shows up. You know, that's even worse. You know, the guy's 500 years old, some 35-year-old shows up. Well, I hate that. God knows exactly where you are, and He loves you.
Well, He doesn't seem like He loves me.
No, God absolutely loves you. You got to throw this other stuff out. This other stuff out, because you don't know what's going on. You only can see the four walls. You can only see the sky above you and the ground beneath you. That's all you can see. You don't know everything. You really don't know anything. I mean, do you know what's going to happen with Israel and Gaza tomorrow? Do you know what's going to happen with Ukraine and Russia? Do you know what's going to happen with Afghanistan and Pakistan? Do you know what's going to happen with Syria and Iraq? Do you know what's going to happen down on the border of Mexico and the United States? I just heard all that on the Talking Heads last Sunday. There's just a few of the things that are going wrong.
What
do I do first? Aren't you glad you're not President Obama? Well, yes, I could. I don't think you could. Oh. You don't consider yourself after the flesh any longer. I just want you to take that one home with you today. Is that you don't want to consider yourself after the flesh any longer. Amen? Every time you look in the mirror, I want you to see Jesus.
Amen.
I want you to paint. I always tell girls to take a lipstick and just write it on their mirror. You know, write it on. I don't know why I do that. Just, you know, I figure girls got lipstick. They can write it on the mirror, and it's hard to get off. You know, and you put a little arrow, point a little arrow, say Jesus loves me, or say new creation, or say not me. That'd be a good one. You just draw a little arrow, and when you show up, it says not me. Amen. Because it's not you. Because you can think of all kinds of reasons to down yourself or pump yourself up. You know, and that would even work even at that, because you look at, if you're looking at you, and you think you're great, not me, somebody else. Amen. You following me today? First of all, I'm encouraging you. I'm building you up. Now let's look over at Psalm 56, because what we're going to be talking about is how God takes care of me. God takes care of me, even in the midst of my enemies, even in the midst of my troubles. Amen. Because that's all we got in this world, basically. Amen. According to the flesh. According to the flesh. How many know, again, we said this place is not heaven, is it? You're trying to make it heaven. We're trying to work it out. You know, we got doors that open by themselves. You know, it's really cool. You know, just like Star Trek or something. You know, we got doors that open. We got phones I can call Joel Bukenya, my buddy over in Uganda, and he can be out. He'll be out in the middle of the woods out there in Uganda, and he'll, hello? That's amazing to me, you know? And I can be out in the woods here. It's just, these are miraculous things that we have, but you know what? They're not God. They're gifts. They're either a means to use the gospel, they're a means to preach the gospel all over the world. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's look at Psalm 56. Be merciful to me, O God. Well, that kind of is an indicator right there. But I would say that. I would say that. I would go to God, and I would not just cry. I would actually go to God, and I would say these words. Because we have an example, right? We have an example. David said these words. He says, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting oppresses me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Most High. Does that kind of describe your daily daily fight, you know, whether it's with people, whether it's with business, whether it's with family, whether it's with neighbors, especially if it's with church members, you know. I mean, the godly people are the worst, right? Amen. They're the, you know, dear God, they're holy. And they just come up behind you, you know. It's because they love you.
Yeah.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's good in another context. So you're crying out, be merciful to me, O God. Because all of my troubles are coming in. Everything's coming in upon me. Everything's coming in upon me. Always keep your finger in that other scripture that I talked about, which is 2 Corinthians 5:16. No, from here on out, I don't know. I don't consider myself, even though we don't consider Jesus after the flesh. Oh, I wish Jesus was here. I could just hug him, and it would be great. You know why Jesus left on purpose? So it didn't have to be like who would be a good example? I don't know. Justin Bieber. A good bad example. Jesus! I mean, we'd have concerts for Jesus and he'd show up. You know, it'd be like a Tim Robbins event. You know, Jesus, the ultimate motivational speaker. He'd be having meetings, you know, all over the world, all at once. We would have had TV a lot sooner if Jesus had stayed around. You know, because he would have been sharing the gospel and being Jesus. He didn't want to do that. He wanted a relationship with you, with me, with Karen, with Rick, with Jack. He wanted a relationship with each one of us individually, personally, so that he could enjoy riding around with me. He could enjoy fellowshipping with me. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. He spent the last five chapters of, or not the last five, but five chapters in John describing the kingdom of heaven as he was bringing it to pass. Because, really, he spent five chapters in there, just over dinner, talking about how I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send this comforter guy.
Thank you.
And he's going to be with you. They're like, Which I don't know if we want this comforter guy. I don't even know who this guy is. You know, how will I recognize him? And so God, Jesus, set this up because he wanted to have fellowship with me and daily fellowship with me so that when these cry out times come, I can immediately cry out. I don't even have to get on the phone. I don't have to stand in line. I immediately have a relationship with the living God. Amen?
Amen.
I don't even have to, do my calisthenics first. Amen? Okay, do your calisthenics. Do 10 jumping jacks, and then you can come see Jesus. Then you can come see the Father. Really, I want to explain to you that Jesus didn't do this so you'd come see Him. Jesus did this because the Father Himself loves you. Some of you had fathers who didn't love you. Some of you had fathers who just weren't exactly the greatest example. Some of you had fathers that were great example. And then you idolized them. And then you can't love God because you love your dad. So it's either way. You either hate your dad or you love your dad, and you're just replacing God with him. But God Himself is your Father. The Jews never knew that. Jesus began in Matthew to begin to teach them and to talk about God is your Father. When you pray, go into your closet and shut the door. And rather than praying out on the street corners like the Pharisees do, and God, your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. He began to talk to the Jewish people about their Father. And these guys began to hear the Holy Spirit, began to minister to them and to draw them. Now, there are many who are bound up by their own religious background and teaching. I understand that. I had some of that too. Thank God we can be delivered from the teaching that says you got to shape up and do your calisthenics before God will hear you. No. He loves spending time with you and being with you. David knew that. David was out in the field. David was constantly talking to the Lord. He learned how to fellowship with the Lord. And was he a mess? Absolutely. Anybody here? Kind of like that?
Yeah.
You're kind of a mess?
Yes. Amen.
He loves you. He loves you. He loves me. I'm just going to relax here for a minute. You don't mind, do you? Lord, thank you that you just love me. Thank you that I'm the beloved of God. You're not putting anything on me or any requirement on me. You have forgiven me and I'm totally forgiven. Father, I thank you that I confess every sin because it's destructive to me. That's why you put the law in place, to show me everything that doesn't work. And Father, I rejoice right now. Set me free from everything. Set me free from complaining. Set me free from fear. Set me free from trying to fix everything without your help. Father, thank you for fixing me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody close your eyes. Father, I thank you right now that you're ministering to everybody the love of God. I thank you for ministering to everybody the love of God, the peace of God. Thank you for the power of the living God flowing in and through us. Thank you for showing each one, Lord, this morning, that one or two persons who are under a burden of guilt for having not done something they should have done or done something they shouldn't have done. And set them free right now. So, Father, I repent of that. I confess that right now in Jesus' name. Just say it in your heart. And you say, Father, thank you that you loved me and you forgave me 2,000 years ago. I'm forgiven. And I'm free right now. And it's never coming, and that thing is never coming back. Doesn't mean you won't do it again. Just means that you're free from the guilt of it. Amen? Are you free from this? Say, I'm free from the guilt of it.
Free.
Woo! Yee-hoo! I'm free from the guilt of it. You need to walk around being free from the guilt of it. Not that it wasn't wrong. Not that it wasn't evil. It was. But that's the nature of your flesh. It just stinks. You know what's going to happen in a few years? It's just going to rot and fall off. Right? I mean, your body, your flesh is going to die. You know, and actually, you know, don't worry about it because it happens to everybody. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. My great-great-grandfather is dead. His body is in the grave and he is dust. And you know what? It's going to happen to me too. God bless you. Stay around. Don't leave yet. I'm telling you, this is great. You just need to be at peace about all of these things. Amen? Just write it off. Just write it off. Just give. God is doing great things in you. Let's keep going in Psalm 56. We've got tons of these. Verse 3, what time I am afraid, at the times I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Boom. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. That was easy. Frame that and sell that at Mardell. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Just read that. Girls, get your lipstick out. Write that. I don't know what guys will do. Write that on your mirror. What? Shaving cream. I'm not going to try to even work through that one. All right. The illustrations are trying to come. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. That describes you. Because you have this flesh part, right? You have this flesh part that's afraid. Then you have the spirit part, which is not afraid, which is trusting in Him. See, there's two parts to you, Hebrews 4:12. If you'll go to Hebrews 4:12 and you go meditate on that, that'll bless you. Amen? Hebrews 4:12 will bless you because it talks about how that He divides, that the Word of God is alive and powerful. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Who's the Word? Remember, what's His name? Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. His name is Jesus. And He said that His Word is more powerful than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit. What's a soul? What's a spirit? I thought it was all the same thing. Your soul and your spirit are distinct. Your soul and your spirit are distinct. God's Spirit speaks to your spirit. When you're born from above, that's God speaking to your heart. You think you're double-minded, it's God talking to you. That's the part that says, I'll trust in Him. The flesh is the part that was raised in this world and it understands only one thing. Kill or be killed. You know, the golden rule, like Robert Maweary used to say, do others before they do you. Hope you caught that. It's not exactly right. The golden rule, as we quoted, is, you know, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Saying that for the young people because they don't teach that in school anymore. They used to, but they don't. So you can teach it in church. He says, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. But of course, by and large, the way that shakes out in overall eternity, overall life that we have known from the beginning of humanity is, you know, do somebody else before they do you. You know, that's our way of making sure that we take care of ourselves rather than God taking care of me. Amen? He says, why? He says, be wise as a serpent. But at the same time, be harmless as a dove. That's how to do business. That's how to do business. He didn't say, bite like a serpent. He says, be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. That's like making that clean cut, like a perfect surgeon. It looks like you're hurting and destroying, but what you're doing is cutting off that which is destructive. You're cutting off, and that's what God's doing in you. He's dividing with that sword of the Spirit between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Okay, that's over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. All right, so He is. You have a soul which is raised in this world and it knows how to respond to all kinds of circumstances in the flesh. But you don't know yourself after that flesh anymore, do you? You don't consider yourself after the flesh. But you consider yourself, in verse 17, as we discussed, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a
new creation.
And old things are? All things are?
New.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So I'm just preaching scriptures you know, so it should be easy. Just connect the dots, right? Ask the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, we're just not that good. You know, because our minds still have junk. And we're meditating on the Holy Spirit. We're meditating on the Word of God. The Word of God is changing me. How? Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Isaiah 28:10. is changing me. God's Word changes me. It's not instant in most cases. Some cases God does a miracle work. I can't tell you why. He has a need for it at the moment.
Yeah.
And you don't have all the details and you're not going to get them. Sometimes God does an instant, immediate work. Sometimes it takes like, whoa, forever for God to get something done. But He says to you, trust me, I love you. Trust me. So no matter how long this thing goes on, whatever it might be, whatever trouble it is, however long it goes, I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to thank God because I know that He has called me. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him, which is my life, which is my soul, which is my spirit, until the day that He comes again. Amen? Back in Psalm 56, what time I am afraid, that's, again, can you figure that out? That's flesh. A fear is of the flesh, right? Fear is of the soul. Fear is, here's something coming that's going to destroy me. That's not God's taking care of everything, right? But the next part is, what time I am afraid, soul, I will trust in Him, spirit. So you ask God to help you make that decision, make that cut, make that decision. Okay, I am going to trust. You can be afraid, or you can trust. It's not about you. It's about you having the relationship with the Lord, and He daily is encouraging you and building you up by this Word. Because you live in Him. Because the Holy Spirit, the living God, lives on the inside of you, and you have a relationship and a fellowship with Him. He speaks to your heart. This Word, through the Holy Spirit's touch and anointing, informs your unrenewed mind. This Word informs, transforms your unrenewed mind. Your unrenewed mind saying it has an immediate response to a circumstance or a situation. Yes, here's what we do. And the Holy Spirit says, no, do it this way. And you're like, why? What was that? What was that? It was like a whiff of something. It was just like something that you weren't used to. Anybody ever done that? You know, you walk through a house and all of a sudden you get a whiff of something that's familiar, but it's like, what was that? You know, hopefully it's not gas or fire or whatever. Yeah, but it's something that grabs your attention, and that's how the Holy Spirit does you. He will grab your attention with just a whiff. When you are going to do something, when you are going to do one thing, He turns you around. And that's what the Word of God does. Let the Word of God what? Dwell in you richly. When you're doing that, then He begins to use it. It's like a toolbox. It's like God's toolbox. I mean, if you don't even have a screwdriver in your toolbox, you know, you're in sad shape, you know, when something breaks, right? But He begins to build a toolbox on the inside of you. He begins to put things on the inside of you. And you begin to, all of a sudden, when you cry out, you begin to hear things or see things or have a revelation of what to do next or what not to do. Amen? This is true. This is how you are transformed into God's kingdom while still living in this body, in this head, in this flesh. This is how you're transformed. Romans chapter 12 says, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might demonstrate. The result is you begin to demonstrate the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You begin to demonstrate those things because the Word of God is dwelling on the inside of you. This is not just words to listen. This is just not words to do.
No.
Hell here. Because we took that from the law. Said, okay, here's what to do. But God is doing a new thing. God has done a new thing. He gets on the inside of you now and He begins to change the way you think. To change the way you move. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. He says, you know, you have always obeyed. Do so with fear and trembling. For, because it is God who is in you, both to will and to do. If you're going to do anything, what do you typically kind of end up doing? What's the thought process? I thought to, and then I did it. Well, God is in you to do this of His own word and of His own promise and of His own desires. He's in you to will. He changes your wanter. He's in you to want to and to do. Isn't He? So this is not about you deciding, okay, here's God's word, now I'm going to go ahead and have to do it. That is somebody working it in the flesh. That's somebody with a mechanical working of the flesh of how to please God. What pleases God? Anybody remember? Starts with an F.
Faith
pleases God. Not works. Faith pleases God. Faith, James says, faith produces works. Doesn't it? So do you produce works so that God's happy? Absolutely not. Do you do what's wonderful just so God will be happy and people will be happy with you? Most of the time we do them because we want people to be happy with us. And then boy, you're just wearing yourself out. You're just pleasing people all over the place. You have to have a relationship with God and let the other things go. Amen?
Amen.
You have to have a relationship with God and let the other things go. What that means is, listen to God when He tells you, okay, deal with that today. Don't deal with that today. All right? Because you're going to have to hear God rather than hearing your own juice. Amen? All right. So what time I am afraid, I will trust in You. So make that distinction, soul and spirit. When I'm afraid, I'm living in the spirit, not in the flesh. So I'm going to trust in Him. In God, verse 4, will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Yippee. I mean, He just kind of keeps putting this together heavier and heavier, doesn't He? In God will I praise His word. That's in Psalm 56. It sounds like a 21st century Christian. In God will I praise His word. His word, His word. The Lord said He was going to exalt His word above His name. Well, did you know that His word reveals His name? Why would He exalt His word above His name? Because His word revealed the promise and the testimony. And His word revealed everything that He was going to do. So the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God will stand forever. Isaiah 48. 40 and verse 8. Okay, looking back here, Psalm 56. In God will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. So that goes right back to that verse. I don't consider myself after the flesh. Because whatever is going to happen to the flesh, it doesn't matter. Because I'm not of the flesh anymore. Well, what if I die? What if you do? You're going to anyway. What if I'm hurt? What if something? What if something happens? I mean, you know, you can think of all these things that are going to happen. Now here's the part of it where you start thinking about what they did. Verse 5, every day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. Now we're going to start enumerating, you know, all of my complaint. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In Your anger, cast down the people, O God. Kill them all. You tell my wanderings. You know my wanderings. Put you my tears into Your bottle. Are they not in Your book? When I cry to You, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. So you ever done that? You're almost like schizophrenic. I mean, you're glorifying God, then the next minute you're like, and God, they're all coming after me. In fact, they're laying a net for me. Yeah, you remember this thing. And you just cry out. You know, God's not upset by that. Don't be holy in the presence of God. That is, when you're coming in, don't be a holy person. Be you. Amen? Because guess what? When the woman who was caught in adultery, she didn't have time to fix up. Yeah, just tossed her down right there and said, hey, here's this woman, here's what she done. And Jesus forgave her immediately. He forgave her. He didn't say, go home, fix up, get changed, take a shower. He immediately redeemed her. Amen? That's what he does when you come into his presence. When you come in, when they throw you in his presence and throw you on the ground and say, this is who you are, this is what you are, this, and they accuse you, and you have to admit, well, yep. And then you're afraid of the judgment that's going to take place. Because, yeah, I mean, you ever felt that way? Is that God's going to just judge me? I mean, he has every right to. You know, I hope he doesn't, but he's got every right to. But you know what he does? He loves you. He picks you up and he loves you. So where are your accusers? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. What if he said go and sin no more so he'll be happy with you? No. So that you'll be free and peaceful. Why was God against sin? Because it hurt me.
Good.
How many wants a law for it? Don't cross the street against the light. Why not? I want to. Bam. There's a reason that law is there. And you've got to pick up your greasy spot and I have to pay for it. I have to pay for picking, scraping you up off the pavement. You know, we all got to pay for that because you decided to do stupid. Amen. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. There's a reason for the law. The law is to protect you. The law is not to condemn you. The law is to protect you. The law does condemn you because you broke it. But God's interest was not in breaking you and destroying you. God's interest was in saving you. What's the further scripture? John 3:16. For God so loved me. For God so loved you. That he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth. Everybody say believeth. See, it's important just to believe.
Yep.
Not whoever doeth. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm in. I got it. I'm in. And now what he's doing in the meantime is he's indwelt me by his Holy Spirit and he's living on the inside of me. And what time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in him. So today I want you to trust in him. Okay? I want you to trust in him because you're going to be tested.
Yes.
It's not because I said so. Oh, he brought that on me. No, you know it. You know stuff's coming. Amen? You're expecting one this afternoon at 3. And it's going to get here at 1. All right? So praise the Lord. Do they ever get here early? You're expecting them and they get here early. Oh, they get here late and you went, man, dodge that one. And then all of a sudden, came in the back. I'm telling you what, we live in a world that is not heaven. It's not a wonderful place. The world is not a wonderful place. Because it's filled with what? It's wickedness, sinfulness. Yeah, it's the residue of death. It's the residue of death that came from Adam and his sweet wife Eve. You know, they were a sweet couple. You know. And all of that, I mean, you know, if Eve was deceived, Adam was like, you know, I'm going to eat that. She gave to him and he did eat. Eyes wide open. You know, people complain about Eve, right? I mean, I'm going to complain about Adam. That idiot. You know, he took that fruit and he, whether it was a fruit, whatever it was, he partook of it going in eyes wide open. You know, he's going to stand, you commend him, he's staying with his wife. She was pretty. This probably happened after 3 days, right? Well, we never know how long they were in the garden before this happened, right? You know, we don't know if they were 80 by the time it happened or something. They lived, but of course they had kids late in those days anyway. They didn't even have kids till afterwards. All right, that's back in Psalm 56. Back to verse 10. In God will I praise his word. We're back to that. Again, same thing as we had in verse 4. In God will I praise His word, in the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Your vows are upon me, O God, I will render praises to you. Your promises are upon me. Your promises are upon me. Your promises are upon me. And I will sing praise to you. I will give praise to you. For you have delivered my soul from death. Will you not deliver my feet from falling? that I may walk before God in the light of the living. This is all in 13 verses. The guy goes boom, 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 boom. You know, up, down, up, down. Isn't that just like me? Yes. It's just like me. You know, well, God doesn't like me because I'm double-minded. Is that double-minded or what? That guy's mad, he's afraid, but then he hears the word of the Lord. And that's how you are. Is God is changing you. He's bringing to pass in you that which is a blessing. All right? I want you to look at a couple more things. Psalm 57, look over at verse 7. And I want you to go ahead and write down Psalm 57. I want you to read it. Okay? First verse, though, says, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you, yea, in the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Well, that just means until Jesus comes again. "I will cry to the Most High God, to the God that performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up." Selah. Think about that. "God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among the lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth and spear are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. But you have exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth." And worship, and then all of a sudden, verse 6, back 6 again, we're down. "They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me, in the midst whereof they are fallen themselves." Now read verse 7. Everybody read this together. "My heart is fixed," right? "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Okay, watch this. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. It's immovable. My heart, my spirit, the born-again spirit that is on the inside of me is fixed, solid. "I am, my house is built upon a rock." Amen? "I have a foundation beneath which I cannot sink." There were days when we could go into the depths of emotional despair. Some of you more than others of you. Just sometimes it's personality. But some of you just... But now that you're in Christ Jesus, I want you to know, and this is a gift of God, that your heart is fixed. And as you meditate upon His promise and upon His Word, and you have that relationship with the Holy Spirit and the living God, and you fellowship with Him. And I'm not saying that you go into that, you don't have to have a ritual. A lot of people have a ritual that they have to do to have a relationship with the living God. You know? And if you don't have that ritual, then you feel like you don't have it. Huh? I don't buy that. Because then that's another thing you have to do. I walk every day with the Lord. I walk every day with God. I do go in the prayer closet. I do study His Word. But if I didn't one day, I'm not afraid. Because He walks with me. He's not a landline. Amen? He's a cell phone. He goes with me everywhere I go. I don't have to run back to the house, run back and get on that phone tied to the house to have a relationship with my Father. He, in fact, lives in me and goes everywhere I go. And you can have it today. Amen? You can have it today. If you're not born again, you can be born again today. You know, maybe you've heard all this for years and years and years and you never said, "Jesus, I thank you that you died for me and I'm your child because I believe that your sacrifice paid for all of my sin, past, present, and future, and now I live in the presence of God. I'm free." Father, take my life now and do whatever you want to with it, because I know it's all going to be good. Even though troubles come in this world, I know that whatever you're going to do in me and through me is going to bless me. So I receive that salvation for me. So I thank you for saving me. I thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit, the living God, so that you will teach me your words. Teach me your ways. Now you can say that. If you said that and believed that, that's all it is. And God begins to do the rest. It begins to work in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. So now you can say, my heart is fixed. Doesn't mean my mind is fixed yet or stable, but it's begun today. It's begun today. I'm free of all of the junk. And I have a relationship with the living God, so when the enemy tries to come in with the devil, there's a devil. Talked about him in the garden. Talked about him in Isaiah. There is an enemy. There is an evil enemy called Satan. And he wants to destroy you and the creation and the work of God. And he will lie to you. And he will bring people to try to destroy you. But you belong to God. And God is living on the inside of you. And your heart is fixed. There's a floor beneath which you now can no longer sink. There's a floor beneath which you cannot go. You cannot be depressed unto death. Because it says here, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Amen? Go read Psalm 91. We're not going to get there today. Go read Psalm 91. It's a great blessing to you. It'll strengthen you. It'll take care of you. Because in this world, you are protected and cared for. Amen? He says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you're dwelling in the secret place, what that just means is, anywhere you are, right here, I could just sit down right here and just have church by myself. I could just have a relationship with Jesus right here. Yep. Just forget y'all and just have a relationship. Have coffee with Jesus right here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm not afraid. God's not going to let me fall. Amen? Hallelujah. We can sit here and talk about it all day, but we don't have time. But God's good. Amen?
Amen.
Were you blessed today? Somebody say something.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody say something else. Amen.
Oh, I have something to say.
Yes.
Take heed. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled.
Amen.
All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Woo!
So
amen.
Not troubled.
That's it. I'm not troubled. I'm not troubled.
Amen.
See, just don't watch the news. That's your problem.
That's the truth.
They should call it the bad news, right?
Amen.
Amen. They should call it the bad news. Okay, write this one down here. Revelation 21.
Okay.
We're not going to go there. I just want you to write it down.
Can we pay for the peace of Jerusalem?
Amen. You know what that is? That's when Jesus comes, isn't it? That's the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. Father, we just worship you. Father, we pray for the shalom of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. These are your people who carried the word of the Lord to bring the Savior and the covenant that we have today. And Father, we thank you right now for the peace of that people. We have a nation out there called Israel. We love the name. We love the people because they carried the covenant. And Father, we pray for their peace, their salvation. Not all Israel is Israel, you said, but those who follow the Father of faith. So Father, we pray that all Israel, even though we know that you said not all Israel is going to be saved, we pray for all Israel to be saved, because you know who will receive. And many, many have. even up to today. Even more so than ever before, have received the gospel. And Father, let them preach among their people the good news and the love of Jesus and the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, I pray for everyone here today. I thank You that You'll just minister to them through the power of the Holy Spirit, the living God, the Word of God that is changing them, that is bringing to pass in them Your fixed heart. That their heart is fixed, they're not afraid, and that You are living in them and demonstrating the living Jesus through them, that they would be able to preach by their life, by their joy, to everyone that they meet. Everybody who sees them will say, I need what they have. And that we can faithfully say, only receive Jesus. You don't have to quit smoking, drinking, and chewing. Jesus will do that. God will do that. Today you just need to receive Him and repent of what you were trying to do. Turn the other way. Go the other way. Just change your mind. And we just give You all the praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sam? Amen. 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 Well, Lord, we thank You for our giving this morning. Thank You that the living God is spreading His Word all over the world and all over the globe through the servants that you have sent. So we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I will bless Thee, O Lord. I will bless Thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless Thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless Thee, O Lord. I will magnify You. I will magnify You. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will magnify You. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will magnify You. Amen, amen.
Amen.
God's good. God is good. Hallelujah. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you. His loving, favorable countenance. His loving face upon you, and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, God is good. Pastor Jim ought to be back. He'll be back next week.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
Blessing.
I need to make an announcement quickly. There are a couple of worship events that are coming up on Thursday, August 7th, and on October 3rd and 4th, both of them in Garland. Matt Gelman is going to be leading worship. These services are pulled together by our good friends Tim and Bunny Pounds, who lead the Reality Community House Churches. And so these are going to be tremendous events, bringing the calling the God of God, the house of God, to repentance and to worship. It's going to be tremendous events, and it's going to be on Thursday, August 7th, and that's the first one coming up. They're having to pay for the venue, so the tickets are $10, $12, $10 if you got 10 or more people. And Glenn, did I give those to you? Or
They're right here on the back.
Did I give you tickets for it? Or
no, you gave me the postcard.
Okay, great. Okay, now if you'd like to get those tickets, contact me or contact Lynn. And we'll make sure you get those, okay? So, but they'd love to. They've filling the place up. And on the heels of that is another event coming October 3rd and 4th, Set a Fire Conference. Same idea is to bring just bring worshipers together from the whole Dallas and Fort Worth area, both of them in Garland. So if you'd like to go and be a part of it, there are some cards back there on the back table, and to kind of give you some more information about it, all right? But that needs to be done this week, all right? Okay. All right, I love you all. I'm off to Fort Worth. God bless you. If you need prayer, turn to your left and turn to your right and get somebody to lay hands on you.
So what you want to do, what
you want me? All right. Hey, how you doing, Kat? Hi, who are you?
Andy.
I thought, yeah, I was going to hope there wasn't a letter in the front. It was nice to meet you. I'm David. Glad you came. You friends with these people? Who are these people? Yeah. I know. But thanks for coming. God bless you.
David.
Yeah. Okay, I've got to bless this guy. Hey, praise the Lord.
How you doing?
Good.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Tell me your name again.
Terrence.
Man, you look good.
Better.
You look good.
Thank you.
Amen. You look good.
You
Amen.
How you doing?
Yeah.
Brother, how you?
Hey, Jerry. Praise the Lord.
David, how are you?
I'm really blessed.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Let me mention one thing.
Yeah.
I wear hearing aids. Samantha told me to tell you hello.
Did I get soft on you?
Well, the acoustical thing, when you move down to this end, the arrangement of the room. If you were up there on that wall and we had a narrow audience, we would hear more easily, like the other room.
Gotcha. So we should probably be shotgun.
But this is so spread out that when you move out here end to end, I'm reaching when you were down
here.
I just thought I'd...
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that.
You can take that.
Oh, I need... Here, I'll give it to Jack.
Let me unload this. Thank you. I don't know if it's still on. Okay.